Well, good morning, everyone. It's been a very odd week, and many of us have been challenged, I think, by the events in the world this week, and I certainly have. And I really wanted to share with you this morning that there are moments of our life where we really experience a moment where we are challenged personally, where we are spoken to by God. Sometimes, actually, not even that our own consciousness is challenged in such a way that we examine ourselves. I received a letter. I'm thinking it was 28 years ago. Anna wrote to me. I was away from home. Back then we didn't have mobile phones, and you know, we could phone each other maybe once a week, but we used to write each other letters, believe it or not. And Anna wrote me a letter. I was away, and in that letter she included this letter. And I've still got it 28-ish years later because of the effect that it had on me at that time. And this letter, it was written by two German schoolboys to my sister regarding their friend and Tim, who had lived in our house for a couple of weeks while on an exchange. Anna was in a German exchange, and so she had been there and he had been to our house. And this is the letter that they wrote. Dear Anna, certainly, you'll understand the English is not great because these are two German schoolboys writing. Certainly you do wonder why we, Martin and Ewa, do write a letter to you instead of your exchange partner, Tim. On Sunday, Tim crashed with his motorbike into a car. He perceived its right of way. He had no chance to avoid the accident. His head was terribly injured because he didn't wear a crash helmet. Tim fell into coma. He was transported by helicopter to Katharina Hospital in Stuttgart. A day later, he died. We're all very shocked. It's not easy to write such a sad letter. His funeral will be on Friday. Please inform all the others. Yours, Martin and Ewa. That letter has a profound effect on me, and I Anna, I'm sure as well. But while I was away from home, you can tell by the fact that I've kept it to this time tells you that. But because it challenged me on the fragility of life and how am I going to spend my life and what is it going to be? I was 21 at the time, and what am I going to spend my life doing and what is important to me? And I think this week, seeing the events around the world and all that's been going on in terms of protests, Black Lives Matter, I've been challenged again this week to look at myself and ask myself, am I all I should be? And I've been asking myself lots of questions about how I should respond. And I know that I don't consciously discriminate against other people. But my question has been, does my culture make me unconsciously do that? And certainly the answer to that in some ways has been yes, and I have to challenge that. In my own self-examination on this, I've had to turn to the teaching of Jesus. You know, there are many people in the world who have no basis for authority, no basis for right and wrong. But as Christians, we have something that others don't. We have the Bible, and we have the teaching of Jesus, which tells us how we should treat one another. It tells us how we should respond to one another. And so this week, as I've been really profoundly thinking about myself, I've been saying, Jesus, what do you want from me? And of course, if we were to say, Jesus, would you speak to me about how to treat others? We don't need to look any further than his teaching. And in the Sermon on the Mount, there are two great sermons that Jesus is recorded of Jesus giving here in our Gospels. And the first one of those, the Sermon on the Mount, is all about how we relate to one another and how we behave within society. And so that's what we're looking at this morning. And I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 5. And this is Jesus speaking to the multitudes gathered on a mountain. He says, God blesses those who realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a read it is to read that Sermon on the Mount. That's just the very beginning of it. Jesus beginning his ministry. You know, he's been to the desert. He's been tempted by Satan. He returns to begin his ministry of preaching the kingdom of God. And the first thing he says are these things that we read. Blessed, from their older translation, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. You can go and read the rest of his sermon. But for the Jews at that time, these statements are completely the opposite of the culture of the day. Last night we started watching, I know some of you have been watching the YouTube series, The Chosen. And just to see the attitude of the Pharisees and what they thought, and later what Jesus brings in terms of his teaching, he was totally counter-culture. Normally, in those days, you would be considered blessed if you are rich. You'd be considered blessed if you're powerful, if you're influential. You're blessed, in a sense, if you're confident and bold and gregarious, if you're famous, if you're publicly known. But Jesus says the opposite. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who are humble. The challenge is, the world is not too much different today as it was then. The social and political context of the New Testament, which is something I've studied, has striking parallels to where we are today. There's a bunch of people who are using power and influence and money to get more power and influence and money. There's corruption and self-interest is dominating in the political classes and all that goes on. And the political leaders of the day are constantly coming to Jesus with questions. Those questions are trying to get Jesus to endorse them and what they believe. So, for example, the Herodians and the Pharisees come to Jesus, two opposite political things, and they say, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And one of them is trying to get Jesus to say, we should not pay taxes to Caesar. And the other is trying to get him to say, we should pay taxes to Caesar. And of course, Jesus' answer, give to God what is God's and to Caesar what is Caesar's. Because they're trying to get Jesus to endorse them and their politics. Well, Jesus does not endorse them and their politics. Actually, he preaches a completely different kingdom. So we're not thinking about the kingdoms of this world and do they fit with Jesus. We're thinking, do the kingdoms fit with what Jesus said? We're not thinking, which is the best one that fits Jesus' teaching? We're saying, we're going to submit to a completely different kingdom, a completely different ruler, and that one is Jesus. Jesus didn't come to endorse a man-made political system, but to start a new kingdom. His preaching was radically different. He challenged the very core of what they thought God considered good. They thought you were good if you were pious and if you were living a life which was really high in terms of keeping the law and all of those things. And Jesus comes and says, blessed are those, blessed are the poor in spirit. Here in the New Living Translation, it says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. In one place, Jesus talks about that. He said there were two men who went to the temple to pray. One who was religious and pious, and he prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like him. And the other guy who was a sinner says, God, forgive me, a sinner. And Jesus said, the more righteous is the one who comes and says, God, forgive me, a sinner. And I want to be in that camp who realizes my need for him. There are too many people who think that Jesus fits around them. Whereas we come and say, Jesus, I submit myself to you. Jesus' teaching challenged the culture of the day, and it still does the same. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the downtrodden, the lowly, the underclass. They're blessed. Our culture does not look at it that way. Blessed are the black people, the Roma people, the homeless people. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then and now there's a perception that if you're rich, it's because God has blessed you. But not according to Jesus. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. The kingdom I belong to is one which singles out the marginalized for blessing. Jesus singles out the marginalized, you know. I've seen people saying this week, all lives matter, and of course they do. But when people are in trouble, Jesus singles them out. When a sheep is in trouble, the good shepherd leaves the 99 to go for the one. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. This is the kingdom that Jesus preaches, and I'm proud to be part of it. But here's the real challenge to us, because Jesus' kingdom is not established by a ruler coming and imposing his authority on all the people. Jesus' kingdom is established by us as individuals, one by one, coming and submitting ourselves to him. And this is the question, am I willing to submit myself to his rule? And we can say, Jesus, would you come and change all this? And he says, yes. If you submit to me, I'll change you. And if we want to see our world change, we need to see a world submitting themselves to the rule of Jesus Christ. And the question I will always start with when we talk about that is, are you willing? Am I willing to let him start with me? To let him start by me submitting myself to him, by me making him my king? That's why this week's events are so profound, because they've made me examine myself. And normally when we examine ourselves, we usually end up in a place of repentance, because we see stuff in ourselves that we don't like. We see stuff in ourselves which we know we can do better. And so my prayer this week has been, God, forgive me and help me to be more like Jesus. The first thing that I can do now is to bow my knee before Jesus, before my King, to humble myself and pray, your kingdom come here in me. Because that's the prayer that we've been praying for the last couple of weeks, your kingdom come. And if we pray that prayer, it means me humbling and saying, Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my Lord. So just as I conclude with now, there are two challenges that I have for you. And whether or not it relates to the events of this week or not, those challenges are always true. Examine yourself. Have you fitted into this culture without thinking? Or do you need to be a subverter of culture, to be running counterculture, because we're submitting to a different kingdom, a different culture? Examine yourself. And the second thing is this, we need to make Jesus our king. I need to make Jesus my king. You need to make Jesus your king. Submit yourself to him. We're going to sing again in a moment, but before we do, I'm just going to pray. Simply this, God, forgive me my sin. I bow my knee before you. Jesus, be my King. Father, we come to you humbly, knowing our need of you, knowing that on our own, We're going to follow the culture around us. We're going to fall into stuff which is not your plan. God, help us to examine ourselves. Father, we come to you in repentance when we've done wrong. And Father, this morning I want to say I submit myself to you, to your authority, to your power. Father, I submit my life. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing, I've forgotten the song. Can you put it on the screen? And then, Lord, I come and confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Let's make this a response to what we've heard from the Word of God this morning.